Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Here Comes That Dreamer, the documentary premiering today at Harkin Spectrum 18 at 4 p.m. If you haven't got your tickets at herecomesthatdreamer.com, I would go ahead and get those because those could only be gotten pre-sale. So if you show up at the ticket booth and you think that you're going to be able to buy tickets there, you'll be sadly disappointed. So go to herecomesthatdreamer.com to get your tickets today. And next side me, I'm as usual a very lucky man because I have someone who not only believes in themselves but encourages and teaches others to believe in themselves. And his name is Andreas Ruiz.
Yes.
Thank you for
being
here.
I'm so excited for you today, man. It's gonna be a good day.
It's a crazy day.
Like
crazy, something in the air, something in the water.
Yes.
I'm excited. And I'm excited for our show because we certainly have an awesome one in store for us today. We have Saad Alawi with Healing Arizona Veterans, who will be discussing hyperbaric oxygen treatment and all the alternative type of treatments that are out there for concussion awareness and concussion repair. Definitely when we're talking about those that maybe a combat soldier or combat warrior would endure, or someone that a first responder would endure. So I'm really excited to get the information out there about what is available to help people that are dealing with PTSD, TBIs, mm-hmm. Yeah. The collective of things that happen when one may bump their head a little bit too hard, which certainly has happened to me in my time, whether it was playing football or my time as a combat veteran. So I'm excited to get that out there. And then on the second half of the show, we have one of our favorite guests, Dr. J. Mm-hmm. Dr. J in the house with Tucson International Academy and the author of the book, Making College Come True, 10 Keys to Success. And today's key is a good one, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Today's key is be a leader.
Yes.
So we'll have Dr. J, the one of my favorite doctors, the superintendent of Tucson International Academy, in here to teach us how to be leaders, you know.
Yep.
And those that particularly I love to I have 11 and 12 year old sons that will be, you know, are aspiring to go into college one day. I love having her come here, and I have some more ammunition to use against them. Mm-hmm. and you know, and trying to encourage them to make some positive choices in their lives. So awesome, Dr. J in the house. And like always, we will start this show off by giving it up to the greatest, most amazing God that has blessed us so very much in so many ways. And we're going to do it with the Lord's Prayer. It goes like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our trespasses, excuse me, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Nice.
Got a little proclimp there in the middle, but we caught you back at a set. That's definitely
good
Lord's
stuff.
Prayer. Always touches me, but here we are once again. And it's kind of to turn the key. We have an awesome guest on, like we said, a guest that's long past due to be on the show with us. And his name goes by Saad Alawi. And he is going to be speaking today about Healing Arizona Veterans and all the amazing things that they're doing to help our veterans. Thanks for coming on the show with us, Saad.
For a really good show.
Yeah, absolutely. It's me and you, I feel like we're like close kin because we've been talking on the phone quite a bit to try to prepare this. But it's awesome to finally have you on the show and talk about all the amazing things that you've done. And to kind of circle back, we have, you know, the mutual friend in Dr. Carol with North Star Hyperbaric. And, you know, if you're any friend of hers, is definitely a friend of mine. So I appreciate you being on with us.
Wonderful. Thank you.
So I guess, you know, I told, you know, my co-host Andreas a little bit about it, and certainly everybody I know, I tell them about Healing Arizona Veterans. But how about you fill in our audience? What is Healing Arizona Veterans and, you know, what they're doing for the local community here?
be happy to. Healing Arizona Veterans is a 501(c)(3) charity. It uses private donations to sponsor the treatment of military veterans suffering from wartime traumatic brain injury, or TBI for short, and post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD for short. The treatment utilizes hyperbaric oxygen therapy, HBOT, and adjunctive therapies, typically at private facilities. Healing Arizona Veterans is an all-volunteer organization. Nobody gets paid.
Nice. Well, that's beautiful. And how long has Healing Arizona Veterans been operating for?
Well, we registered as a charity in 2017.
Okay.
And we've been operating since that time.
And from, I want to believe, I know there's certainly been people that have stayed at our facility, a Veteran Rescue Mission, that have, you know, gotten treatment at North Star Hyperbaric, and I want to think probably even as far back as Bravo Base, and that's how Andreas and I each know each other. Did you have any experience with Bravo Base and kind of, or I guess the real question is, you know, what is that outreach mechanism look like for Healing Arizona Veterans to try to get those veterans connected with the services that they need?
A lot of it is word of mouth. Some people just go on Google and look for it. We've had, I'd say about half and half, word of mouth. The other half is people do a search on the internet and they find us, especially if they're living in Arizona. As for the time, you know, Dr. Hendricks has been in operations almost 18 years, and she's been treating people with HBOT for a long, long time.
Nice.
And many of the veterans she had treated before we even started Healing Arizona Veterans.
Perfect. Well, we're gonna go ahead and go to a break now, but we're going to be back in just a moment here with Saad Alawi with Healing Arizona Veterans, and we'll be discussing more about all the amazing work Healing Arizona Veterans at North Star Hyperbaric is doing for the city of Tucson. Well, we want you to go ahead and give us a call at 790-2040 if you have questions for Saad, or if you our first caller will get actually a free pair of tickets to the documentary that's premiering today called Here Comes That Dreamer. Go to herecomesthatdreamer.com to get a pair of those tickets. These tickets are only pre-sale available, so definitely if you show up to the box office and going to want to try to get a pair of these tickets today, you're not going to be able to. So please go to herecomesthatdreamer.com for more information, and definitely we appreciate you tuning in to the Common Good Radio Show today, brought to you by Here Comes That Dreamer, and we'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Here Comes That Dreamer, the documentary that'll be premiering today at Harkins 18 about a young Iraqi veteran that returned home and used his skills to help the homeless in the city of Tucson, Arizona, about Mr. Pastor John McClain, who happens to be also the pastor of Veteran Rescue Mission that this show is usually brought to you by. But go to herecomesthatdreamer.com if you want to get some pre-sale tickets. We have a few left, so you would be probably the one of the people who got one of the last few. Or if you want to call in and speak to our guest today, Saad Alawi, on the phone, his number, our number actually, is 790-2040. And speaking of which, thank you once again for being here with us, Mr. Saad Alawi.
Thank you again.
Yes. And so to jump back in what we're talking about, you're talking about hyperbaric oxygen treatment, which a lot of people never heard about. I say that because up until I met Dr. Carroll, I never heard about it. But I know it was endorsed by the state of Arizona. You know, tell us more about that. When did this happen, and what is it, exactly does that mean?
Yeah, back in 2017, we were working with the state of Arizona to get the state to endorse hyperbaric oxygen therapy for veterans with traumatic brain injury. After a couple of sessions with ad hoc committees and then with a standing committee, HB, or House Bill 2513, was finally passed at the beginning of 2018, which endorses the use of hyperbaric oxygen therapy for treatment. It was signed by Governor Ducey in March of 2018. So that has been the state's involvement. Now, Arizona is the fifth state that actually endorsed this.
Interesting.
There are five others that done it beforehand, and there are many other states now are looking at doing the same. So it's moving at the state level, and of course, federal level. Finally, this year, Senate Bill 785, which passed both the Senate and the House, U.S. Senate and House, and signed by President Trump into law. What that does is basically offers alternative therapy, such as hyperbaric oxygen therapy, to veterans to help ease the suicide problem.
Nice.
So they're looking at about 1,000 veterans to be treated on a pilot basis around the country.
That's amazing.
So it's moving slowly, but you know the states have been pushing it. Yeah.
So where do veterans? I mean, I think you mentioned earlier there's different private facilities that veterans can get this type of treatment. Where are some of these facilities, and what are some of these treatments that they can get?
Currently, Healing Arizona Veterans, when we get a veteran who qualifies to be treated, we send them either to North Star Hyperbaric in Tucson, that Pastor John mentioned earlier. Dr. Carol Henricks operates and runs it. And we also have another provider in the Phoenix area, Hyperbaric Oxygen Therapy of Arizona, who's been operating even longer than North Star Hyperbaric. So the patients get sent to both these locations, depending geographically, of course, where they live. And both those facilities are private facilities. So the donations that people give us, we use to pay for that treatment at those facilities. There are other facilities in Arizona, but we don't have them on our list of providers as of yet.
Can you tell us of any experiences that you've had personally, like with any veterans, and any stories that you could tell us of how it's helped them?
Actually, the best thing you could do, I've just updated our website. So if you go to our website, healingarizonaveterans.org, and click on Achievements Veterans, and you'll go there. There are 8 testimonials, video and audio. They're short, between 3 and 8 minutes long, and the veterans will tell you exactly how it's changed their lives. And that's the key thing here. It's really changed their lives. It's changed their lives in a way personally for many of them. And it's changed their lives in dealing with their family. So as they will tell you, they've become much, much better person.
Nice. That's beautiful.
As far as eligibility and like process, what can a veteran that wants to get treatment or wants to reach out expect? And what is an eligible veteran look like?
Okay. Generally speaking, most of the veterans where we've treated have been from the Middle East, you know, Iraq, Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. We've had a couple from Vietnam era, but generally those individuals have other kinds of problems because they're much older, so they got other kinds of problems. So it's a little bit hard to help them when they've got numerous other issues. But when we get veterans, typically Dr. Carol Henricks, who is our neurological clinical director, she assesses them from a clinical point of view, whether they qualify or not. In other words, is a treatment going to be helpful to them? And then we have our chairman of our board, Dr. Bob Sexton, is actually a triple veteran. He was in Vietnam, and then he went to Iraq and Afghanistan as a doctor, as a field surgeon. So he, after Dr. Henricks says, yes, they qualify from a clinical point of view, he talks to them and decides from a financial point of view whether they qualify and if we can support them. And given that we have limited money, there are some priorities are given to patients. But we haven't had to turn down anybody, I don't think, in the last year and a half or two. And so that's the process. And once they're approved, it immediately goes to either Dr. Carol Henricks or Lori Klauber in Phoenix, depending on where the veteran lives. And they begin treatment.
So what are the ways that people can help Arizona veterans? Because I definitely seems like, and I can attest, like I said before, I know that there are veterans that you guys made it possible that they could get this treatment. You know, what are ways that people can donate to you or get involved in, you know, any way to make it so you guys can still make that possible for our veterans?
appreciate the question. I'd like to start by saying we are an all-volunteer organization, so 95 cents of every dollar you give us literally goes to treatment. We don't have any overhead of any kind. To date, we've raised over $310,000 since start, and we are targeting $1.2 million so we can treat 100 veterans. It costs $12,000 to treat a veteran fully, either 40 or 60 sessions or as much as 80 sessions. Wow. So your listeners can help in a number of ways. You can donate to the cause. Given that cash is short supply these days, you can donate vehicles, including cars and trucks and RVs and boats and everything else. You can encourage veterans with PTSD and TBI to contact us for treatment. And the third way you can participate is volunteer to help if the cause appeals to you. And we are always looking for volunteers. And you can find all that information on our website, again, healingarizonaveterans.org. So you can donate directly on our website, whether it's cash, vehicles, or if you want to volunteer, or if you have a patient, you can send an email directly from our website. I check the emails and voicemails every day to see if there are any patients, prospective patients calling.
Thank you so much, Ed. And we got about 20 seconds left till we break out. Is there anything that our veterans or our listeners should know that you'd like to let them know, Saad?
All I can tell you is from all the veterans I've seen and their testimonials, don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. Don't think this is something strange. It actually works. There are over 4,000 veterans have been treated with this nationwide, and you can find that information on another organization's website called treatnow.org. So please consider it. And if you're a family of a veteran and you think they need it, call us.
All right. Thank you so much, Saad. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for so much information today. Thank you for what you do. I appreciate it. And thank you for being here. And also for the listeners out there who are interested in getting some coaching, you can go to ibelieveinmyself.org and check out my website, or you can send me an email at ibelieveinmyselfcoaching@gmail.com. You can also check me out on Facebook at Andres Ruiz. If you'd like to buy my book, Morning Warrior Secrets, you can go to amazon.com and check it out there. And for the first 5 listeners, I will be giving a free coaching session so I can help you create a strategy for that big vision you desire, eliminate that fear that is stopping you, and so you can find your life's purpose. We will be right back with more Common Good Radio Show, sponsored by HereComesThatDreamer.com.
Welcome back one more again to the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by the feature documentary Here Comes That Dreamer, premiering today at Harkin Spectrum 18 at 4 p.m. If you want to get those pre-sale only tickets, go to HereComesThatDreamer.com. It's going to be showing real soon, so I would grab them up. Come down and see that documentary about an Iraqi war vet that came back home and tried to help the homeless vets and the homeless get housing.
Yes.
It's a good enough story. And then also, if you didn't know, now you know, Andres Ruiz with the I Believe in Myself, the most motivational of the motivational coaches here to motivate me. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, I appreciate
absolutely.
You, man.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother.
We're in studio today, brother.
Hulkamania.
Talking WWF when we're not on air.
I know.
Brother, yeah. Better get you some, brother.
We got our sister here, yeah. Dr. J.
We got our sister, Dr. J, in studio. So we got Dr. J, Dr. Jennifer Herrera, with the superintendent of Tucson International Academy, also the author of Making College Come True, 10 Keys to Success. And today's key is key numero cuatro, number 4, be a leader. And definitely, I want to think of the juice that I've been able to consume in this book, Making College Come True. This is one of my favorite chapters, Be a Leader, because one, this is an idea that I've really kind of owned myself. Like being a leader, like we're... from left and right, we're constantly told, don't do that, don't do this, like, don't step out of the spotlight, like, you're not meant to be a leader, you're like, you know, fall in line. Mm-hmm. But once you really do own that leader within you, magic happens.
Yeah.
So right. I'm excited to hear from one of the greatest leaders I know, realistically. I know I'm not just fluffing you when I say that, but that's really one of the greatest leaders I know, Dr. J. So tell us, how can one be a leader in their everyday life?
Being a leader in your everyday life honestly starts with, how do you lead yourself? So if you lead yourself in a way that is healthy, that is productive, that is keeps you on target for what you believe your purpose is in life, that takes leadership. It doesn't just happen by itself, that's for sure. You have to focus, you have to, that's where it gets into the things that Coach Andres talks about, is you have to set goals, you have to have some rituals, you have to have some guidelines for your own life so that you stay on the path that's going to lead you to your greatest glory, your greatest excitement, your greatest contribution in this life.
So that. the first step in being a leader is lead yourself.
Yes.
Interesting. So first step in being a leader is not be a follower and just kind of like commit to something and take off with it. That's interesting that you put it that way, because it seems so simple, yet like nobody really does it. You seem like you got something itching at your mind.
And so what I want to ask you, Jennifer, is when it comes to like, why do so many people don't do it? Like, why don't they do it? Why do you think that they don't do it?
Why don't they become leaders?
Yeah.
Because they're not sure how they can make people do it. And I think, to be honest, I think secretly, it's because they know themselves they have not done what they needed to do. So they feel that kind of inner guilt, like, well, I can't do it either. And they're going to see that flaw in me, and they're not going to follow me. And, well, I have to be perfect first before I can lead anyone. And so that is the big deception. I mean, you cannot wait until you're perfect to lead others. And you don't have to have gone everywhere that they are going to go. Leadership is a different skill set. It's a skill set where you can approach it from many different ways. But for us, we see it that if people want to, for example, go to college, that's a goal. I can lead them to college. Not necessarily to be teachers like me. I mean, I would love to have more teachers in the world. I would love to make everybody a teacher, Andres. I tried that once before. But because you see the good in them, and then you honor what they want to do, the path they want to take, and then you help them achieve that goal to the best of your ability. And really, it's a matter of asking questions, confirming the skills that you see you developed in them already, and just helping suggest next steps to the inquiry of, how am I going to get where I want to go, and then where do I want to go? And you can't always see that with the job market changing all the time. I mean, look at COVID. So having to ask a lot of questions, maybe differently, and being open to the possible answers, that's another thing. Sometimes we don't want to hear the answer. We kind of have an idea that it's not going to be easy. And in America, we like microwaves. They're fast. We like fast food. You just drive through. You don't have to do anything. Just eat it. We like comfort. We like it to taste good. And then health is secondary. After we eat all that, then we go cry. And then we say, oh, I got to go work out for 15 hours to get that. You know, not that I've ever done that myself. But, but that's America, right? So you know who you are, and you just help yourself. And then you ask others that want to come along for the ride. Come on, let's go this direction. And you can really do a lot.
Okay, so we have a couple minutes left, but there was something in the book that really hit me right in the gut when I read it, and I definitely wanted to touch on it before we go out. You mentioned in the book that only 20% of the people graduate college on average. How does that give them an advantage in the workplace in general?
So, I mean, it's something that I've heard debated in the marketplace many, many times, so there's disagreements on that. My personal experience is when I have someone who comes onto our teaching staff who's had a formal education in how to educate, they just have a skill set that is a lot more usable to the school. When they come in, they may be a great teacher, they may be great with kids, but they don't have that background. They don't know the language of talking teacher ease. There's still like a hurdle that isn't crossed. Mm-hmm. And that takes extra work on my part as leader to keep them involved and to keep them able to stay up with the industry of education, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of accountability. Mm-hmm. And you got the state, you got the federal, you've got parents, you've got grandparents, you've got the community you live in.
Yeah.
They're
mm-hmm.
counting on you to get good kids graduated.
Yeah.
Not just fluffy, here's your piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
Kids that can actually do something when they mm-hmm. get out. Kids who are leaders. That's what we try to do at Tucson International Academies.
Yeah.
We create leaders. We give them opportunities to lead groups, lead clubs, lead philanthropic undertakings, whatever they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we equip them with coaching. We equip them. Andres has been there many times and is there now, actually.
Yeah.
And we hook them up with people like John, who's got a lot going on. How is he contributing to the community? Is that something that your heart is for?
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of kids that are for that. So
that's amazing.
Future leaders coming up.
Yeah, future leaders being made with Tucson International Academy, and Dr. J's got their back.
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back to the Common Good Radio Show. The little beautiful smooth voice there said brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. But today is a special Here Comes That Dreamer edition, because the world premiere of the feature documentary Here Comes That Dreamer will be showing today at Harkins Spectrum 18 here in about an hour or so. And you can get last minute pre-sale only tickets at herecomesthatdreamer.com. But we put that aside for a moment because we have something a little bit more awesome to discuss.
Yes.
We have Dr. J and the number 4 key out of making college come true. And that key is to be a leader.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And before we go into the break, Dr. J was telling us why you listening, particularly my 11 and 12-year-old sons, Kobe and Jonathan, should go to college, and how that gives you an advantage, and knowing the appropriate jargon when you step into any workplace, no matter what the industry is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In a nutshell?
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
In a nutshell, you got to go to college. If you have a chance to go to college, you are crazy not to take it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the universities. They don't have students in the university, right?
Mm-hmm.
So guess what do you think is going to happen with this COVID and all the kids, the students not being able to go to college on campus? There's going to be less colleges, so it's going to become more difficult to get into college. You're not going to get a degree. So guess what that does in a workplace? Anybody who has a degree is now going to be like coveted, because they've had all these experiences of leadership in college. You learn leadership. You have to learn, you know, you get to class at 7:30 in the morning or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's managing yourself. You often get sucked into awesome groups and clubs, and you raise money for the whales, and you you're saving everything in college.
Yeah.
And those are experiences you just don't get if you just get a job and work it, even though a job is noble, and it is we need workers.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be that leader, you want to be set apart, go to college.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important. Not only that, but you will make more money. You will have better job security. When they cut jobs, who are they going to cut? They may cut somebody who has all this experience of having meetings and doing committee work and doing extra, making your company look good. Or are you going to take someone who just is really good at their one job that they do?
Mm-hmm.
No, you're going to take the more well-rounded person.
Mm-hmm.
College graduates usually are more well-rounded.
Mm-hmm.
If they just studied all the time and only did their classes, no, they're not going to be. But they'll still have that piece of paper, and they will have depth of knowledge that they wouldn't have elsewhere otherwise. So there's a lot of benefits to college.
Okay.
I'm telling
you. Kobe and Jonathan heard enough on that. We've berated them enough. All right. You've heard Kobe and Jonathan. You know what's up. Now I want you, Kobe and Jonathan, to hear about the Platinum Rule. This is another thing in the book that really kind of like hit me in the gut, and I was just like, oh, that's good. That's a good one. That's one that will stick with me. So tell our listeners about the Platinum Rule.
All right. The Platinum Rule is one step above the Golden Rule. Golden rule is what? Treat others the way you want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. And that's a very good rule. But the Platinum one-ups it. It's if you know, yes, of course, you're treating people the way you want to be treated, but help people treat each other better. How can you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Be a role model. And be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
You can lead them through arguments. You can lead them through decisions they're making when you know, obviously, that's a wrong direction. Don't start doing that. You can lead them by your example. You can lead them with words. You can lead them by bringing them alongside of you into a healthy activity, some sports or something. Mm-hmm. You can, I mean, we do this with, you know, every age bracket of person. Mm-hmm. You need, we all need someone to come alongside of us. Leaders really are servants.
Yeah.
They're not the ones that are just pointing and saying, do it, do it. Even though it looks like that. Behind the scenes, they have considered, what does the community need? What does the world need? And what can my contribution be to that? And then who can I find that will help me be that force in the world? Mm-hmm. And then you gather your troops and they follow you and you're able to do this larger thing. And it's a beautiful setup. It's a platinum rule. Be a leader.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. And I think kind of in that same vein of what you're talking about with being a leader, like those people who perceive a leader, especially when you first get into a business as a guy who's just pointing and say, do this thing, that thing, that leader at one time probably was at that entry level. You know, that leader moved that rock at one time. That leader read that book. That leader got pointed at, and they at one time possibly thought that the other leaders are just around pointing. So, like, that's part of being a leader. Sometimes you have to be a follower. Mm-hmm. And to get to, you know, a position where you know how to do all those things, you're an expert at all those things, so when it's time for you to step up, you're there and you're equipped for it.
100%. Mm-hmm. And I will say this last thing. If you want to be a leader, learn to be an excellent follower. Get mm-hmm. under someone that you admire, trust, respect, and is doing something good, mm-hmm. and follow everything they advise. And do that to the nth degree, you'll become a leader much faster. Because when I'm looking for future leaders, I'm looking for teachers who do what we say and implement it at the highest degree, and even maybe put a cherry on top by doing something mm-hmm. extra spectacular with that particular goal. Mm. And you look at those achievers and you say, wow, they've achieved so much. They know how to get that top result. I'd like them to teach others how to do it. I'm going to put them in leadership.
Mm, nice.
And that's how you do it.
I love that. And can you think of who was like the first leader that you followed that you were saying, wow, this person really inspired me and helped me take my life to the next level type of thing? Like,
wow. I mean, I have had so many. I mean, I watched my dad start businesses and help everyone in our community start businesses. Mm. Mm. So he was a good role model, but I was pretty young, so I wasn't seeing the ins and outs. But I think it was seeing some excellent teachers become principals when I was just teaching at TUSD and I was part of the teaching staff. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, they're really going to make a difference. I want to do that, but I didn't necessarily want to be a principal. So no, I decided to start charter schools. Now I'm principal, teacher, and the janitor, and the
head. It's odd. Even hearing you say that, I've never even pictured you as a teacher at TUSD, but I mean, it's so, if you weren't an inspirational figure already, it's so, you know, inspiring to those TUSD teachers out there right now that, you know, are just one piece of motivation. Or, you know, what was it that had you go from being a TUSD teacher, all due respect to the TUSD teachers, to where you are now? Like, what was there a catalyst? Was there something that really kind of...
I got invited to do my doctorate at U of A, mm-hmm. and I was honored that they thought I was good, you know, capable to do it. And so through those classes, we were constantly analyzing education, and we said, hey, what is something that needs changed in education? And mm-hmm. I thought, for me, it was watching really good kids who were kind of natural born leaders. Mm-hmm. And then years later, I'd see them and I'd say, what college are you going to? And the kid would say, oh, I could never go to college. I'm not smart enough. I'm thinking, oh my God, you are so smart and you don't even know it. When did that go wrong?
Yeah.
When did you lose your confidence? Mm-hmm. I thought, how are these kids? And I thought, what it is they're losing experiences. It's so big, they become a number. Mm-hmm. You know, so if I could do something a little smaller and just pick up the ones I actually had a great experience at TUSD. Felt like we gave a good education, but there was always some that would slip through the cracks. Mm. I wanted to pick up those because in there were some jewels, and the world is going to be lacking because the ones that slipped through didn't become all they could be. Wow. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure every kid gets a chance to be all they can be and to seek their purpose and mission in life and to fulfill it, because that's a high level of living when you go to work and you say, woohoo, I'm going to work and this is what I live for. I love my job. It's not even a job. It's like, I get to go do this.
I get to. Yeah.
So would you say, like, kind of owning that acceptance into the doctorate program, was that kind of that light bulb moment for you where you're just like, okay, I can do this. I can do this, and I could probably also do this, and I could probably also do that. Was that where the kind of the popcorn started popping?
Yep. I'm a youngest of three siblings, and I'm the only daughter, the only girl. Mm-hmm. So everybody did everything for me pretty much. And I was just waiting for someone else to do it. And mm-hmm. at the doctorate program, I finally got it. Nobody else is going to do it. Mm-hmm. Everybody's too busy with their lives. And I'm busy with my life too, but I cannot ignore this glaring issue. There are kids that are not doing their part in the community because we haven't been able to reach them properly.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to develop a system. I was driven to it. Mm-hmm. Had some good friends that helped me brainstorm it and get the school started, the charter school. I didn't even know that it existed. And somebody dragged me to a charter school to see it. And I saw it and I said, oh my gosh, I guess this does have possibilities. Mm-hmm. So I could do that more intimate level of mentoring and helping them find their passion, mm-hmm. purpose, and goals in life. So that's been fun for me. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. And so speaking of Tucson International Academy, we got a couple minutes before we bounce out of here. Give us an update on it. How are things mm-hmm. looking in the state of Tucson International Academy nowadays?
It's great. It's every day. You just have to take a look at the stats for COVID and for other things because we want to stay in compliance and we don't want to put anyone at risk.
Mm-hmm.
But it's optional at our school. You do not have to come in person. Mm-hmm. You can do in person or you can do online or you can mm-hmm. do a combination of both. We've mm-hmm. set it up in a way that you don't have to make a one-time decision and stay with that decision for the year.
Nice.
Which I think some schools have done that. And so we're full. We are packed with students because parents want the option.
Yeah.
And for me, I think they should have it because each kid is slightly different. If they have asthma, yeah, you might think twice about going in person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they have, you know, an online need, but they don't have the equipment or the bandwidth. We also have a paper version. So being flexible has been key. We have, we're K-12. So we have 26 seniors graduating this year. So, and they've all been accepted to at least one college, if not two.
Nice.
And we just started right away. We had senior days.
Hmm.
We have another one coming up this week, this Friday. So all day the kids will be with us. And
that must be fun, huh?
It's so rewarding. I love those days.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. And so, and I think that, I think that's just so amazing, especially, you know, seeing, you know, this school district's closed for the year, that school district's closed for a year. It's pretty cool that you still allow that option because I know, you know, as a parent, like I mentioned, I have 11 and 12-year-old son. Man, these are hyper little dudes. And I mean, they're 11 and 12. I mean, they're not just little babies. They're not too young, but they're young enough that, you know, they need to interact with people. They need to get out there and be about it. And when I talk to them, like, about it, they miss going back to school, you know, as much as anybody. So,
yes,
you know, I'm glad that people have an option like yours available.
We keep it open, so come check us out if you'd like. And how do they
get a hold of you guys?
The best way is really just to call or go on our website. Our website's TucsonInternationalAcademy.com, all spelled out, and call 792-3255. And if you talk to whoever answers, mostly we'll be able to answer about any question.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. J, for coming in studio with us once again.
Thank you.
It's like the Dr. J hour once every couple weeks here on the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Here Comes That Dreamer. This week, I definitely invite you all to check that out. We thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Andreas, for being awesome as always, brother.
Same to you, man. Yeah. Thank you. This is wonderful. Thank you, Dr. J, for being here. I appreciate you.
Thank you, all you beautiful people, for listening. We'll catch you next time.